G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Line season 2016, previewing round 5 after what was an interesting round 4, I guess. As predicted, the Adelaide Swans game was an absolute ripper.
Could have done with 5 goals less, but nonetheless.
Could have done. A couple of injuries here and there soured what could have been a pretty good weekend for the boys, but look, as it was a pretty decent weekend of footy with some good games. We'll talk a little bit more about those results as we roll through.
Yeah, I think there's a few of the form references through a couple of teams now that are really starting to strengthen, and we're getting a much better appreciation for which sides are much chopped this year and which ones aren't. And
absolutely,
we'll get to a couple of those sides, particularly the latter group, late in this round.
Perfect.
Two sides that are a fair bit of chop kick things off on Friday night. We're at the MCG for Hawthorn and Adelaide. Hawks laying near enough 3 goals, total points line low to mid 190s.
Yeah, look, I was really surprised when I saw that line. Adelaide beat Sydney last week, and Sydney, after 3 rounds, everyone was saying were unbackable. So, Hawthorn nearly 2 3-point wins in a row. Mm. Very lucky to be 3-1. MCG, yes,
it's worth it.
They have a good record against Adelaide, particularly at that venue.
Yep.
They don't sort of strike. I watch every game that Hawthorn play, and they haven't struck me as really getting out of second gear at this stage. But that being said, you know, if they bring even anything less than 100% effort, Adelaide will really do a number on them, I think, and really stretch them forward of centre. So I'm not going to bet into the Hawks, but I think a 3-goal start for Adelaide in this game is absolutely ridiculous, and anyone that doesn't have an affiliation with the Hawks should be getting involved.
Well, I kind of priced it that way. The first look on this game, I had the Hawks 1.5 goal favourites. A couple of trends with the Crows, though, that I don't like. They're pretty poor as road dogs. They don't play the MCG terribly often, but they've got a pretty poor record when they are there. They've got a poor record off a short break. That was just enough for me in the end. The other one I contemplated was the under. I mean, mid-190s in a night game is a lot. Gee, the Crows go over an awful lot. And having stepped into 185 last week and not looked like it, after a low-scoring first half and just watched the blitzkrieg that was the third quarter, beat it. I'm not having the under. I'm not having the under in a Crows game until everybody learn how to not kick goals.
Oh, and that's their strength. I mean, they're playing to their strengths. They've got the most versatile, we've said it every week, they've got the most versatile, if not the best forward line in the competition.
Yep.
So why wouldn't you take the Malcolm Blight stick to every game you play and say, well, who cares how many you kick, we'll kick more.
Absolutely. Pretty happy not to bet this game and just enjoy the spectacle much more than I enjoyed Adelaide-Sydney last week, because they kept eating into the 185.5 a little bit too quickly for my liking.
If we put flyers out for the neighbours just to let them know there might be a bit of a ruckus on Friday night, they're throwing shit around and whatever else.
There's still time. Friday night's a way off.
All right.
We move to the first of the Saturday games, and another belter coming up. We're at the SCG for Sydney and West Coast. The Swans laying around about a goal. Total points line around the mid-170s.
Yeah, I actually really like Sydney in this game off the back of a beat last week. They have been outstanding. I think West Coast's weakest link is their midfield. They do structure up well defensively, and they've obviously got a great and well-rounded attack. And Sydney's midfield, they're arguably the best in the competition. Probably got a little bit touched up last week, so they'll be smarting at that, and they'll want to come out and really, really show everybody what they're about, especially on their home deck. They play the SCG ridiculously well. It's such a different ground in terms of dimensions to what the West Coast Eagles are used to playing on in Subiaco. If this game was in Subi, I'd comfortably probably lay 2 or 3 goals the Eagles.
Yep.
But a goal Sydney at the SCG, that's money for jam for mine.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, less than a goal, you can get 5.5 is the best number on the board that I saw.
Yeah.
The implication of that is that Sydney are a worse side than West Coast. I don't buy that. Spent a lot of time in the off-season looking at trends and trends across different fractions of the year, and there are some really good ones that held up for 4 straight years. They've been going like an absolute bastard so far this year. I actually did a bit of tallying up over the weekend. They'd be 13-24 so far, and the only one that actually came good last week was favourites of less than 12 coming off a loss. GWS got the job done last week. That's 15 of the last 19 that have covered in that. that range from rounds 4 to 11 of a season. Swans fit the bill this week. As you said, SCG forecast a little bit of rain around, which damages the potency of the West Coast forward line. Good enough for me to be into the Swans at the minus here.
Good, good.
Second of the Saturday games is a twilight game up at the Gold Coast, Metricon Stadium, with the Suns hosting North Melbourne. Suns getting about a goal and a half to 2 goals. Total points line, mid-180s.
We've talked off-air about these sides a lot in the last couple of weeks. Gold Coast, I'm sure you'll say, haven't really beaten... Even though they're third on the ladder or whatever they are at the minute, they really haven't beaten anybody to this point. Got beaten by Brisbane last week, who were perennial cellar dwellers at the minute. Stephen May out for them for the better part of a month and a half is a massive loss. I think he's one of their true key post defenders, and with North Melbourne, with their versatility with the three big tools, Brown, Petrie and Waite, waxing really well at the moment, then you get the little blokes in and under their feet. North Melbourne, I think, have probably the truest form line in the competition of the teams that have stacked together wins back to back, and for these guys,
the Adelaide form looks good. Even the Melbourne form looks okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that North Melbourne probably they're going the best of all the teams in the competition at the moment. The results back that up. I don't see how Gold Coast go with them. Even up there, North Melbourne do have a tendency to lose these games. People listening, if there are any, will actually be sick of us saying North Melbourne will shit the bed this week, because we say it every week. But
they threatened. I said the exact same thing last week. That kid had his hand over the stovetop when Fremantle hit the front at the Docklands, and I'm looking at them like a really fucking discouraged parent going, why did I step into the minus 16 and a half? These bludgers are going to drop this game. They dumped away from the stove just at the right time.
I'm happy to lay a couple of goals North Melbourne head to head with Gold Coast on form. If they don't cover, that will be a very disappointing result for them, for mine.
Yeah, I couldn't find one here. I was leaning North Melbourne at the minus, but for all the reasons we just discussed and the fact that the Gold Coast have hosed North Melbourne the last two times they've played is just enough in it for me to sit there and go, I'm just going to be ruining this bet on Saturday night if I make it. So stick with Sydney earlier on in the day and that'll do me for the first two Saturday games.
Super Saturday, mate. Load up. Get into
stuff. We've got a couple to come. Still plenty of time.
A couple of dog shit games, though.
They are. First of those is at the Docklands, Etihad Stadium, Bulldogs hosting...
Spoiler alert there, sorry.
Yeah, it's a bludger of a game. Dogs and the Lions, Dogs laying about 7 goals, total points line around the 180 mark.
First look, I actually liked Brisbane at the plus. Big line. Yes, I was super bullish about the Dogs last week, but the injuries that they sustained... The game style that they played in the first 3 weeks, it was so potent, was so heavily reliant, not necessarily just on Murphy, but more particularly on Johannesson and the way that they ran through the lines and they gave them that quick service up forward, repeat, 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 inside 50s. The loss of those two blokes week to week can't be quantified, I don't think. They're really skinny now for dash off the back half, and I'm just not sure what they've got left in the tank, whether... a Sean Higgins or someone goes back to halfback and assumes that sort
from North Melbourne.
That's a really good point. He probably won't go back there anymore. What have I got in my head?
Who's Suckling.
Sorry. He's the other bludger there. Look, rambling now, but the Lions at the plus looks a fair go, but that being said, anything can happen with the Lions. They're a young team and they might just as easily lay down. So
the Dogs have been suffocating sides. Yeah. You know, Freo, Carlton and St Kilda haven't kicked a score between them.
Pretty easy walk away for me.
Yeah, likewise. This is a horrible game to be betting. I don't have a great deal of interest in watching it either, to be honest. I expect the Dogs to win. Not much more to be said.
Yep.
Second of the Saturday night games is at the Adelaide Oval. And speaking of bludgers, Port Adelaide, who are... were absolute bludgers last week and getting about a goal and a half at home. Total points line around the mid-180s.
I like the Cats. I really like the Cats. Port Adelaide, obviously they, you know, everyone says they need a statement game and all that sort of business, but they've needed that every week.
They haven't actually turned up with one yet.
They've been getting progressively worse. And I know Hinkley has put the acid on his leadership group to actually step up and lead the team from the front. But from what I'm seeing at the moment, they're not even close. Mm. Not even close on any sort of quantification you want to use for effort or intensity or just for football ability at the minute. They're not showing they're there or thereabouts. And I think the Cats will match up on them pretty well. They'll really stretch them in defence. Port have got a pretty compact defensive unit. Carlisle still out injured. I think they'll really struggle, and I expect Geelong to put a bit of a number on them, even though it's over there. I think they'll get it done very easily.
Yeah, I couldn't find one at the line here. I watched a bit of the Geelong-Essendon game last week. They were a bit unconvincing, Geelong. I mean, they were fantastic in the first round when Dangerfield near enough beat Hawthorn on his own. Yeah. They were so-so against GWS. Actually, probably weren't that great. They got rolled. They did enough against Brisbane, but at Cadenia, that's not saying much. And they took a long time to put Essendon away last week. And so the bet I found here is the under. A few good trends to the under, both for night games for Port, for night games for Geelong, for games where they're favourites on the road. I'm not sure. I don't know how Port approached this game. But there have been a couple of games where Geelong haven't run up massive scores. If I had to bet the line, I'd be Geelong minus rather than Port plus.
Yeah.
But unless Dangerfield has another game like the Hawthorn game, I don't see Geelong kicking 20 goals or whatever. This is a sort of 15 to 10 goal sort of...
Yeah.
That's something in that range in my head.
That's
And if Port obliges, you know, particularly working back into their defensive 50 again...
Mm.
At home, all hell's going to break loose.
Yep.
So, under for me.
Good.
First of the Sunday games, we're back at the Docklands. This is a bit of an interesting game here. St Kilda hosting GWS. Saints getting about a goal and a half. Total points line around the mid-180s.
Yeah, look, any time we get mid-180s at the Docklands, it's I think that's a step in for me.
Are they going to close the roof? This is the perpetual question of day games, because you just know they're going to fuck you over here and there'll be half sun and half shade and no one will be able to mark the ball because no one will be able to see it. If you could be confident now that they closed the roof, if this was a night game, you'd actually feel more confident.
If it's a night game, I'd take on a mid-190s line comfortably, but I think they'll close the roof. I think that surely...
You're leaning on the sanity of the AFL and... That's fraught with danger.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? I'm gonna go it anyway. I don't even care. It's two young sides out there that are probably more relevant for mine than the roof being open or closed is whether or not these two young teams head to head with each other. It's just a really hard pressured game, or if they actually allow each other to try and play it on the outside because. They both like to score. I mean, yep. GWS kicked 150 points themselves in what was not great conditions here last week. So,
I suspect they'll both back themselves to score against young defences.
Yeah, I think they will. So, open or closed, I don't give a shit. I reckon there'll be points.
I was leaning the same way, but I can't have it without a promise that the roof's going to be closed. So,
we'll see.
No bet for me. We move to the second of the Sunday games. Oh, this is a horrible game. Fremantle and Carlton at Subiaco.
Just before you go on, does anyone care? No, no one cares. Don't even bother.
Freo laying 6 goals. Total points line high 170s and we're not betting.
Yeah, see you, mate.
Sunday night, we're at the MCG for Melbourne and Richmond. Now, this is near enough a pick'em game. You can get both sides as very slight underdogs depending on who you're shopping with. Total points line low 180s.
Look, Melbourne probably should win on form. I think they're playing the better football at the moment.
I've been tipping North. Oh, sorry, tipping Melbourne.
I can't bet them, but I can tip them.
Well,
that's where it's going to be. I mean, it's a very easy walk away game. Both teams are a little bit up and down in what they do, but I've tipped Melbourne, and I think that they will win. I hope that they will win.
It'd be hilarious if they
all
win.
All the women in my life go for Richmond, so I really hope that Melbourne win. That'd be brilliant. It's actually been an interesting game. I think this is the sort of game where there could be more turnovers than points.
That's a great point, and I'm sitting here with my under 181 and a half bet going, as long as that's not 181 and a half turnovers, I'm feeling pretty good about this. Where are they getting a score?
Mm.
Where are Richmond getting a score? Melbourne are actually semi-capable. Richmond are playing slow footy. They're playing footy that lacks confidence.
Marriage back this week.
That helps.
Stiffens them up. Gives them that.
They need Delidio, though. They need something coming out of the back.
They just need it. Yeah, they need some hope. I don't know. They're flat. They're really poor to watch at the moment.
Melbourne will fancy themselves. I can see them doing what they did to Collingwood, and just if they press hard early,
absolutely,
they might break Richmond.
Oh, absolutely, and they'll want revenge. Like Richmond have been putting their pants down for the better part of the last decade. So,
yeah, well, Melbourne won the last couple against Richmond. There was sort of a 10-year.
Right of that.
Yeah.
Bloody throw stats back at me. Come on.
It was only the last two. Richmond have been building Melbourne for a long time, but Melbourne have got the last game in 2014, got game in 2015.
Let's make it three in a row, boys. Yeah.
And neither of those games got remotely close to 181 and a half. So okay. I'm happy to step into the army.
Loving it.
Last game of the week, and we're on Anzac Day, the traditional clash between Collingwood and Essendon. The Pies laying almost 3 goals, total points line. High 170s to low 180s, depending on where you're shopping.
I don't imagine this will be a great spectacle of a game.
It'll be horrible.
Anzac Day is always it's a spectacle.
It's an event.
It's an event in itself because it's, you know, the significance of the day, and everyone's pissed in the afternoon, so no one really cares what the quality of the football is.
Which is lucky, because this isn't going to be much of a game.
I'm not going to bet this game, but if I had to make a decision, I would actually take the points. I don't think Collingwood are going that much better than Essendon are at the moment. And the really interesting subplot to this game is that, and
it's the doomsday for Collingwood, isn't it?
It is the doomsday. Like if Collingwood lose this game, Nathan Buckley won't coach them from that point on. This could potentially be his last game as a senior coach in the AFL. Which in itself is, it's very interesting.
I'll tell you what, if you're an Essendon fan,
if he's not in the rooms, old Gil style before the game, pleading with the players, saying, come on, boys, come on, give me something, please. I've got some really good mates that are very, very staunch Collingwood supporters and massive Nathan Buckley supporters, and all of them are saying that the club cannot move forward with him at the helm.
Yeah.
They've lost. It's no confidence set up there, and if they lose on Monday, I don't think he'll be back. They'll probably take his Copeland medals off him and piss him off. So, no bet. But fingers crossed that the Dons can get a win.
Oh, absolutely. As an Essendon fan, you're kind of wishing for at the start of the year, just wishing for a win against anyone.
Yeah.
Having got one of those early, the target is now 3 wins for the year. We've got one on the board, one against Collingwood, one against Carlton, and we go home very happy.
That's a good year.
That's an achievable year right now.
Absolutely.
I found a bet here. I'm going to bet the under. I just don't know where are the points coming from?
Yeah.
Seven goals against Geelong, 8 against the Gold Coast. We can't kick a score. Even the Melbourne game, they didn't make 150 total. These sides and the head-to-heads have been going low when they were talented. And they're both talentless.
You can make of this what you will. My mail is that Travis Cloke will be dropped and will not play in this game. For mine, that probably increases Collingwood's scoring power, because they're not going to be kicking it to somebody who doesn't care about being there.
Make it 60-50 instead of 55-50.
But it's a good call, mate. I'd follow you, but I don't bet Anzac Day. That's my money's all going for two.
Yeah, happy to have the under here. Much as with the Sunday night game, just bludges of teams. Where are the points coming from? 180 is a long way away if sides can't kick.
That's it, mate. That's it.
So, total of 4 bets for me. I've got Sydney at the minus, and I've got 3 bets to the under. Port Geelong on the Saturday night, Melbourne Richmond on the Sunday night, Collingwood Essendon on Anzac Day.
4 for me as well, mate. I've got Sydney at the minus, North at the minus. I've got Geelong at the minus as well.
Yep.
Weekend for the favourites, and I've got plenty of points running the over in the St Kilda GW game.
There we are. Good luck and good punting, folks.
Have a good weekend. Head them up.